Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. Let's read that and then pray. The love of Christ controls or compels us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we know no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. See, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As God is making an appeal through us, we plead on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father, exalt Christ before us today. Christ our Lord, Christ our Savior, Christ the one who makes the way to you, who makes the way for us. Be glorified in him today. Be glorified in Christ in us today. In his name we pray. Amen. We are back for one more Sunday, the last Sunday, in our short series, Each to His Own. The call of God to turn from our own way. A plot of land is cleared. Power lines are strung from a power plant to a power pole on the plot of land. Then a house is built and wired for electricity. What is the next step to get electrical power running through that house? A connection must be made, right? Without that connection, that house, electrically speaking, will sit there dead and in the dark regardless of how much power is running to that power pole. A connection must be made between that house and that pole for power to flow from the plant to the house. In God sending his gospel of his own son into the world, what is his end in mind? What is his primary intended result of people hearing and responding to the gospel of Christ so that they can then be put on a new course in Christ as a new creature in Christ? The answer is, very simply, for them to be given a new connection in Christ. A new connection given by God with God in Christ. A new connection without which people remain spiritually dead and in the dark. A connection must be established. In the rest of Paul's God-breathed words in 2 Corinthians 5, we will look at a new connection in reconciliation. A new connection in the ministry of reconciliation, and a new connection in righteousness. So we start with a new connection in reconciliation. Look at verse 18 again, the first part, the first half of verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Stop right there. We saw in the last message that a new course in Christ is possible because of being a new creature in Christ, having the new things of a new life. You see, reality changes for someone in Christ because the reality of someone in Christ changes. God does not take old sinners and put them on a new path. Does not happen. He takes old sinners, makes them new saints, and then puts them on the new path. That's the way it has always worked. That's the way it will always work. Only new creatures have a new course in Christ. Only new people can live for Christ. Now, Paul states clearly that all of the new things of a new spiritual creation are from God to us. In the new connection of reconciliation he has made between us and himself through Christ. That's where it all comes together. That's how it all happens. You need to understand, reconciliation. Let me get a drink. I apologize. Pray for me. Reconciliation is not the mere improvement of an existing relationship. A lot of people want to hear about the gospel, and they're okay if we tell them something that leads them to believe they already have something with God, and Jesus just came along to make it better. You just need Jesus to finish putting everything in place. It's not that you need radically transformed. It's not that your life needs radically changed. It's not that you're going from being dead to being alive. It's just Jesus just came to make some adjustments. People can stomach that okay. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth of Scripture. People need reconciled with God. And that is not a mere improvement, a mere adjustment of an existing relationship, but the establishment of a relationship where there was not one before. A connection has to be made where there was no connection before. For us that are in Christ, having been wrong with God, we have been made right with God. That's the wonderful news of reconciliation with God in Christ. That God, in His mercy and His grace, has given that to us. He's made the way to make us right with Himself, where we were wrong before. So Paul says elsewhere, Romans 5, 9 through 11, much more, having now been justified by Christ's blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, listen to this, for if while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. From enemies of God to children of God, to the people of God. A new connection. The flip of a switch. That is our reconciliation that God has given us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20, going into verse 22. Through Him, through Christ, this is what God has done, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet now he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Enemies, alienated, hostile to God, engaged in our evil deeds. What a major shift to think about this, that now we are the people of God, the children of God, living for God in Christ. How's that possible? The connection of reconciliation. That's how it's possible. That's what God did. And to quote John MacArthur, thus reconciliation is not something man does, but what he receives. It is not what he accomplishes, but what he embraces. Reconciliation does not happen. Listen to this. I love this. Reconciliation does not happen when man decides to stop rejecting God, but when God decides to stop rejecting man. Isn't that good? The good news from God in Christ is that in my Son, I will not reject you when I have every right to. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, after reconciling us to himself, God has left us in the world to use us in reconciling others to himself. That's why we're still here. And so that brings us to a new connection in the ministry of reconciliation. Let's read the remainder again of verse 18, going through 20 this time. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As God is making an appeal through us, we plead on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, we see right here the mercy of God to the world through the ministry of his word, the message of the gospel. We need to think about the world in reconciliation. In talking about God reconciling the world to himself, Paul does not mean every single person in the world. That is universalism and heretical. We know, biblically speaking, from Scripture, millions have already left this world condemned and millions more will. There is a heaven, there is a hell. There are those that are saved and those that are lost. So when Paul says here that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, he does not mean, he cannot mean that God is saving everybody. So what does he mean by the world? He simply means this: rather than every single person, world means every kind of person everywhere. Paul is emphasizing the expanse of reconciliation, not the entirety of reconciliation. God has not narrowed his focus, and this was important in Paul's day because this is how the Jews thought. Paul has not, or God has not narrowed his focus on only one nation. That's how the Jews wanted to think. Only Jews were right with God. Only Jews were looking forward to the kingdom of God. Gentiles were just hopeless. They had no hope. If you weren't born a Jew, you couldn't have anything, any hope of any life with God, any hope of eternal life, any place in God's kingdom. So Paul, as a redeemed Jew, has come to understand the scope of God's redemptive work. And he has not narrowed his focus on only one nation. He has not narrowed his focus on only one ethnicity. He has not narrowed his focus on only one continent of people. He has focused on the world. That's what Paul's driving at. And considering what he sees, what God sees in the world, we need to understand then the wonder of reconciliation. The wonder of it. We should be amazed at God's deliberate, merciful decision here. The only way he can reconcile people to himself is in, as Paul says there, not counting their trespasses against them. How in the world can God reconcile people that are his enemies to himself so that they become his people? It starts with him not counting their trespasses against them. Think about how it feels to be trespassed against. Have you ever been trespassed against? If you have, you know how offensive it is. If someone has ever unwelcomely come on your property or done something to your property or done something to you personally, if you've ever had anybody come on your place where you live without being welcome, break into your house, steal something from you, tear something of yours up, or attack you physically, you have been trespassed against. You know how that feels. Being trespassed against gives you a sickening, maddening sense of being violated. It's a terrible feeling. Now, try to imagine the world from God's perspective. Not from ours, but from God's. You think about what he sees in the world every single day. I mean, we talk about things that bother us in the world. We talk about the things we see and that we hear, and we walk around with a constant underlying sense of offense at a lot of the things going on around us, don't we? Now, I want you to try in your mind to multiply that by infinity from God's perspective. Everywhere he looks, what does he see? He sees trespasses against him. In his creation, by his creation, all the time. And yet, think about what Paul is saying. He is not counting their trespasses against them, not in real time. In his mercy, at this time, for how much more time we don't know, God is not taking the action that he would be justified in taking against his trespassers. How do we know that? Because we're still here. We still live and breathe in a fallen world full of fallen people that are absolutely living against the will of God, aren't we? Why does it go on? Because for the time being, he is not taking a full account of the world's trespasses against him. In his mercy, he has decided to withhold his judgment. And he is not counting the trespasses of his trespassers against him because he is busy today reconciling his trespassers to him. There are people that will wonderfully, joyfully go to bed tonight as sons and daughters of God who woke up this morning enemies of God. because today is the day of their salvation. Today is the day that God will reconcile them to himself. And they just didn't know it when they woke up this morning. They didn't know that God had planned a meeting between himself and them. And there will be a moment, a connection will be made. In Christ, they will be reconciled, and they will no longer be his trespassers, they will be his children. And thank God that yesterday, don't you think they will be thanking God that yesterday, leading up to today, he was not counting their trespasses against them so that that moment of reconciliation could come. Praise God for his mercy. And then after reconciling his trespassers to himself, he is turning them back into the world with the word of reconciliation. Paul says he is committed to us, literally placed in us the word of reconciliation. And we are to spread the word of reconciliation. That's the point of placing the word in us, so that we can spread it. Here is some important commentary on the Greek word translated word. And I quote a man by the name of Philip Hughes. In Greek thought, logos indicates what is true and trustworthy as opposed to the term myth, which is descriptive of what is fictitious and spurious, end quote. Again, to quote John MacArthur, in a world of religious myths, Christians proclaim the truth about the only way that people can be reconciled to God, end quote. There is no other word of reconciliation with God. No other religion in the world has a word of reconciliation with God. No other religion in the world can tell people how to be made right with God. Only Christians have this word. And it's the word that we have been given by God in his word. In God's providence, the way the word of reconciliation gets out into the world is for us to take it out into the world. This should cause us to realize then our representation in reconciliation. Having been implanted and entrusted with the word of reconciliation, therefore, as Paul says next, in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, representing him in living and speaking for him as citizens of his heavenly kingdom while still in this worldly kingdom. Think about it. Practically speaking, we stand between Christ and those still without Christ. Christ is not here in the flesh anymore, is he? So how do people come to meet him? There's only one answer to that question. They come to meet him through us. We stand between him and them. As God is making an appeal through us, as Paul says. In making his appeal through us, God is working out his sovereign initiative through us in his urgent appeal. And we should have a sense of that urgency so that we, as Paul says there, beg or plead with others on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. No gospel presentation is complete without that call, without that pleading. Be reconciled to God. Realize your separation. Realize your alienation. Realize that if you stay in your sin, if you stay in your own way, you will die separate from God. You will die separated from his mercy and his grace, from his love, from his goodness. And you will, in that separation from him, be condemned by him. Be reconciled to him. With gentleness and reverence, As Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, with a loving attitude and uncompromising conviction, we are to plead with others to stop rebelling against God and be reconciled to God, helping them understand exactly what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us in Christ. And that finally brings us to a new connection in righteousness. Look at verse 21. He, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made him who never sinned. Never sinned. In word, thought, or action. He made him be identified by our sin so that we could be identified in turn by his righteousness. Without which, reconciliation is not possible. I refer you again to Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet now he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through his death. Here's why. In order to present you before God holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Complete shift. In that where we were wrong, not only are we made right, we are made righteous. Where we were unrighteous before, we are made righteous in Christ. That has to be done for reconciliation. By faith in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ is what we call imputed to us, accounted to us, to the extent that his righteousness is our identity. His righteousness becomes our identity, not simply something we do, but who we are. Essentially, who we are. So many people want to hear this talk of righteousness and they want to automatically start thinking about behavior. So you're telling me I need to adjust my behavior. God just wants me to do better. When what they need to understand is they can never do enough to undo what they've already done. So the idea here is not just that God wants to change behavior. He wants to change the person. As we talked about last time, making them a new creature to the extent that righteousness is in them and comes from them. So righteousness is not that which we achieve for God, but that which we receive from God to live out for God, positionally in our justification, being declared righteous, and practically in our sanctification, being made righteous. So, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, when he talks about how he knows he is righteous before God, he says, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from me obeying the law. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. It's a gift we're given. Not an accomplishment we achieve. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31 says this about Christ. By God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption from God, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. I will tell you, as I stand here before you, I am a righteous man. I can say that with a clear conscience. I am a righteous man. I live a righteous life, but I can't boast in myself for that. I boast in the Lord for that. I don't owe that to myself. I owe that to Him. It's something He gave to me. It's something He did for me. For salvation to be possible for lost humanity, the tide of turning from God to our own way, that had to be reversed. And we must stop and we must think, could we reverse that for ourselves when it's already been done? When the offense has already happened, when the trespass has already been made against God, can we reverse that for ourselves? We all instinctively know the answer to that question is no. But it had to be for salvation to be possible. Having turned away from God, a way had to be made for us to be turned back to God. For that to happen, we needed to be given new hearts for God. And for salvation to be fully accomplished, the rift that we made between us and God had to be repaired. And there's no way that we could be the ones to repair it. But it had to be repaired. Excuse me. In our sin debt being paid and forgiven, our guilt being cleared, and our righteousness being established, and God did it all. As the world insists on each to his own, God is sending out into the world, He's sending us out into the world with this call, each to his own. It's time to turn from your own and turn to His own. To turn from our own way, to turn to His own way as His own people. In Christ, anyone can be put on a new course as a new creature in a new connection with God. And that truth of salvation is the joyful hope of heaven. Heaven will be eternally, exceedingly, unimaginably wonderful. Not merely because it will be problem-free. It will be problem-free. But not primarily because it's problem-free. Primarily because it will be sin-free. No sin. No sinners. As we enjoy all the pleasures of the presence and blessings of God in being finally, fully, and forever right with Him in every way possible. To the extent humanly possible, in keeping with our unique heavenly rewards, God will eternally immerse us in His own infinite happiness. That is what will define heaven for us forever. So do not leave here without that hope today. Not only your own hope, but that hope that you take to others, that God would lead you to reach as an ambassador for Christ. I plead with you and implore you to plead with others. Be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Father, who will you have us go to with this wonderful good news? With your gospel. Calling each to be your own. Be glorified, Father, in your great mercy in the world today, that you are not counting their trespasses against them, but in Christ, you are reconciling many of them, any of them, to yourself. And I thank you that now, after each of us has turned to his own way in Christ, we can turn to you. We can turn to your own way as your own people in a saving, wonderful relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. Help us get the word out and be glorified in doing so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.